Welcome to the teaching podcast of Wellspring Church in New York City. We are a community that seeks to live in the way of Jesus and hope that you will be encouraged by today's teaching.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Seth. We're in a series called Sozo, and we've been in the series for a couple of weeks. And each Sunday, we start with taking communion. So today, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to take our time to think about the Lord and how he came here on earth and sacrificed his life for us. And he told us to do the simple thing of taking bread, which represents his body, dipping it in the juice, which represents his blood, and eating it. And that's a reminder today that we are a temple. And that's our hope as we take communion today, is that we all come together and really understand the truth of that statement. We are a temple. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to pray. And then everyone can just go up and get communion as you feel led. Hear the scripture, hopefully almost like it's for the first time. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So, Holy Spirit, we honor you right now with our bodies. And we exalt the truth that you have given us, that we are a holy temple, a holy house, a holy home. May we partake in communion with you with this in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please receive communion. Still meditating on this truth, we're going to move into a little bit of an imaginative exercise. So if you could join me in putting your feet on the ground and trying your best to sit upright, just to make sure you're breathing and you're awake, and you don't fall asleep. If you feel led, you can close your eyes fully. If your body's feeling a little tired, you can just lower them and not close them completely. But try your best to ignore what's happening outside and focus on what's happening inside. All you need to do is listen to the sound of my voice and allow yourself to be taken someplace with God. So, Lord, right now I just bless our imaginations to be a place where we can commune with you. Speak to us, give us your truth. We're listening internally. Have your way. In Jesus' name. As you're closing your eyes, I want you to imagine that you are a house. And this house represents your internal world. And the Lord wants you to know something very important about this house. He wants you to know that the Father built the house. Jesus purchased the house. The Holy Spirit lives in the house with you. And you have the keys to the house and the deed in your pocket. And when you look at the deed, you notice that the names written on it are the Holy Trinity and you. And you start to feel a bit of ownership over this house because you own the house with the Lord. Now just imagine what your house would look like. Is your house strong and sturdy? Or is it more warm and welcoming? Is it simple and peaceful? What does your house look like? Your house may be different than anyone else, but there are some things that remain the same in all houses. And one thing is that it has a lot of rooms in your house. There are many different, some you know about, some you visit often, some you don't know about, and you're still discovering. But this house has many rooms that pique your curiosity. So you begin to walk around and look at some of these rooms just from the outside. And on some of the doors, you see labels on them. Some of them say things like elementary school years. Another door may say, my first breakup. Another one, the first time I moved to a new home. There are other doors that have pictures on them. Maybe one of a grandparent. And another door, someone who's hurt you. And you're looking at all these doors, and some of them you want to go inside of, and some you don't. And as you start to feel nervous about those doors you don't want to go in, all of a sudden you remember that the Holy Spirit's there with you. He's walking around with you in this home, your house. And so then you feel a little bit of peace in your body, and you start to think, maybe I don't have to go in all the rooms right now. I'll just look in some of the common spaces. And as you look around, you notice some things. You notice on the wall, there's some fading of the paint. And immediately you know where that's from. You say, okay, that's when I had a loss of energy in that season where I had a lot of responsibility. And the Holy Spirit is there touching your back saying, yeah, I remember that season. And then you look at the carpet, and that's fading a little bit too, and you know where that's from. That's from right now when you're feeling worn out from work, family, and ministry. And you look at the Holy Spirit, he's there. He's shaking his head in agreement. He knows. He's with you. And then you see the door hinge is a little off. And automatically, when you see that, you think about this relationship that you've been in for a long time that needs some maintenance. And you're knowing that that's where that comes from. And the Holy Spirit's there with you, shaking his head, saying, it's okay to keep looking. You look and you see one more thing. On the floor, there is this scratch. And you're touching it with your finger. And as you touch it, you know where it's coming from. It's coming from that small emotional scar of disappointment that you had in the past. And the Holy Spirit touches your hand, and he's like, I remember that. I was there with you. But as you're looking at these things you're familiar with, you begin to hear this dropping sound, almost like a drip of water. Drop, drop, drop. And you go into the kitchen to figure out what's happening, and all of a sudden you see that the pipe is leaking. And you don't know where this is from. And the Holy Spirit says, I do. It's from your emotions. They're kind of slowly spilling out right now, almost like you don't have any control. If you want, we can fix that together. And you say, of course, I don't want my emotions to spill out, Holy Spirit. Let's do this together. Together you touch the pipe and it's cleaned. It's not wet anymore. It's not dirty. It's dry. It's back to the way it was intended to function. But you're still looking around the house and you notice that the drain is clogged. You don't know where that's from either, but the Holy Spirit tells you that's from the resentment that's building up from the unforgiveness that you had. And if you want, we can work on that right now. But all of a sudden you're distracted because you feel this breeze. So you stop and you go to the window and you see that the window is cracked and open and there's this breeze coming in and you're like, how did this happen? I don't remember opening that window. And the Holy Spirit reminds you of some things you're experiencing. But you're having some difficulty setting boundaries and things like that, and the window is a response to that. If you want, the Holy Spirit says, we can close that together. But still, you get distracted. You notice that the thermostat is not working the way it's supposed to. It's not reading the right way. And still, You want to know more, but you get frustrated and you're like, you know what? I'm tired of focusing on this house. I need to do something else. So you stop focusing on the house. Now imagine, after some time, a storm comes and bangs up against this house with fury. And you didn't expect it. You couldn't board up your windows. You couldn't do the things you might normally do with a storm this bad. So you just take it. And your house tries its best to exist there. And after some time in the storm, you realize that maybe it's good to check on your house, because every day it just isn't feeling like you're functioning the way that you're supposed to. So you go inside and you check the house now. And all of a sudden, there's this fly that's in your house. And you think it's just one, and you're like, what happened? I was only gone for a little while. But before you notice, there's more and more. And you're looking for the Holy Spirit. And you're like, weren't you watching the house? And the Holy Spirit said, yes, I stopped these flies from destroying the house. But these flies also represent some lies you've been attached to and believing in every day. And if you want to get rid of them, I need you to work with me so that we can break the power of this thing that's happening in your house. I have the power to do that, but I need your partnership. And you start getting overwhelmed and thinking, I don't want to live like this. But then all of a sudden you smell something that's moldy. And then you see termites. And then you see these things that were never supposed to be in your house, now in your house. And the Holy Spirit is saying, just give me the word. I have the power to get rid of this. All I need is your partnership. And you feeling strengthened by the words of the Holy Spirit, strengthened by the ability to know that you don't have to do it on your own. You say, let's do it, Holy Spirit. Let's get rid of these flies. Let's get rid of the mold. Let's get rid of the termites. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to do things that you've never seen before. He starts to touch all of the things, the flies, with his hands, with his presence. And the more he touches those things, you see that the house is becoming more and more like it was intended to be. And you're in agreement with the Holy Spirit. You're saying more, yes. And whatever he tells you to do in order to make this house the way it was designed to be, you do it. The Lord has a desire to do that in your house every day. So I want you to imagine at the end of this, you looking at your house with the Holy Spirit, understanding that this is your story, this is your life, and this is the authority that you have. In the name of Jesus, we just pray over that time. Amen. Welcome back. My hope is that in that time of imagining your house, you heard from the Lord specifically about what was going on in your life. There were a couple of things that we noticed in this house that I want to bring to our attention. As we're talking about sozo, it's important that we go into our own internal world and look for things that God needs to heal and make whole or deliver. And when we're in our own homes, we need to be looking for certain things. And you, in that imaginative exercise, begin to see things like paint that was coming off the walls, and you knew where that was from. And you saw things like the faded carpet, and you knew where that was from. And what I like to call this is regular wear and tear of the house. And these are very natural things that happen when a house is lived in. We all will face things that are disappointing, things that are difficult, seasons that are hard, and it happens in times where we don't expect it, and it's just wear and tear. It's things we will all experience. But then there were other things in the house, the pipe that stopped functioning the way that it was supposed to,
the drain that stopped functioning the way that it was supposed to. And these are things that actually are part of the house, but they become dysfunctional. They're not functioning the way that they used to. So when things in the house are supposed to have a particular function and then they stop working properly, they need healing. So these are the things in your life where healing is important. The things where you know that there is some suffering that you've experienced, some grief that you've experienced, and you need the things in your life to function the way they were designed to. But now they're not. One of the most basic examples is a physical injury, right? Your arm can function to be outstretched and grab things. But if any part of the system is broken, then it's not functioning the way it's designed to. And what we need to do is help it go back to the way that it was before, which is through healing it, and then it can have the design that it's supposed to have. So there are things in our life that's wear and tear. We all go through them, right? They're part of life, the ups and downs. But then there are deeper things where they become dysfunctional and we need healing. But today we're talking about the third category, which were the flies that were in your house, right? These termites that came out of nowhere after the storm. And these things are destructive things. They're not designed to be in the house. When the Lord gave you the home as a gift, His intentions were that the destructive things do not plague your house, that they don't try to eat it away at the structure and the foundation, that these things don't have the power over you, but instead that you would go back to the original design. So when you hear about these flies and these termites, no one wants these things in our house. So when you do the act of allowing the Holy Spirit to take those things out of your house, that is when you're experiencing deliverance. That's deliverance. When I say deliverance, though, I know many people are thinking of the movie The Exorcist. When I say deliverance, we're thinking of someone crawling on the ceiling, like we talked about in pre-service prayer. We're thinking about the head that's turning and the vomit that's coming out, and the pastor with the cross saying, "Out, demon, out." That's what we think of when we hear deliverance. But I was so curious to know, like, what is the genre of this movie, The Exorcist? And do you know it's a horror mystery? Meaning that when we think of demonic influence, when we think of casting out demons, we automatically think of something that brings us fear. Automatically. And we've heard stories in church history even that may make us afraid. But the more I step into care ministry, which is something we do here at Wellspring, the more I know that sometimes the experiences that we see people go through is about the approach and not necessarily about what the Lord wants to do or how deliverance actually works in a person's life. So what we've learned at the CARES Network is to rethink about how we think about deliverance. And how we frame it is just like this. There's something in your house that doesn't belong. And Jesus was not afraid about talking about things that didn't belong in the house. Jesus wasn't afraid to interact with demons. He wasn't afraid to even talk about the devil, the enemy, whatever name you want to use. Jesus wanted us to know that deliverance is a normal part of our salvation. Yet over the years, we've become afraid. I've been through deliverance multiple times. And I'm a fan of deliverance. And I want you to be encouraged to know that the Lord does not want you to walk in bondage or oppression or to have something else having power or any type of control over your house. He wants you to take the rightful seat of the owner in the deed, having the deed of your own home. Let's talk about Jesus for a minute, since he liked to talk about houses and demons. Let's go to Luke 11. And
Hear the words of Jesus. He says this: when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and they live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. The condition of the person. This is why we started with the condition of your house. What is the condition of your house? How are the pipes? How's the thermostat? Are there things coming in through the windows, in through the doors? What is the condition of your house? Because Jesus is giving us an example of these spirits that are trying to get into this house. And at first, the spirit seems to have left the house, but it had nowhere else to go. So it came back to the house, and the house was clean. It was in order, seemed like a pretty good scenario. And it thought, great, why don't I come back with some friends and occupy it again? Think about your own house. There's two things we have to understand about the enemy before we break this down anymore. And the one thing, the first thing that I want you to remember is that the enemy does not own your house. Amen. The enemy does not own your house. Amen. Meaning he cannot possess you. Yes. He cannot take back what Jesus bought. Yes. He cannot have the power and the control that he wants you to believe that he has. Your name is on the deed. The Trinity's name is on the deed. And the Trinity wants to partner with you to keep your house free. Yes. The enemy does not own your house. The Holy Spirit lives there. And he's territorial over his space. Second thing, very important, the enemy rolls deep. Some of you know what that means, but I can explain it. The enemy likes clusters. The enemy likes a group. What we see it like in our life is patterns of destruction. Patterns of destruction. I want you to think about those flies that left, that came in the house. Let's say it left the house, just like this scripture. But then the house was cleaned and in order, and the fly came back, but this time it brought a rat. And the rat came in, but this time it had rabies. And then on top of that, there is a flea that's on the rat. How many of you know that this is often how life happens? You're anxious, and then you thought you were free of anxiety, but then you're anxious again, and then you find control being an issue, and then you feel exhausted, and then you have burnout, and you wonder, what happened? How did this happen? How did I get here? And we have to understand, the enemy doesn't own the house, but that doesn't stop him from having control and influence over the house. I want you to think about your phone. I don't have my device with me, but I'm sure you do. It's a thing we never leave home without. You can be in a meeting having the most enjoyable time. You put your phone on the table. The moment a notification comes in that's negative or from a person that you don't want to hear from, all of a sudden, no matter if they own that phone or not, they're controlling your state. All of a sudden, you're thinking, I'm supposed to be listening to this person, but I'm distracted by what I just saw. And now it has the power to take away your attention from the person you love because something just came and influenced you. This happens all the time, algorithms and social media. There are times where I feel content in my body. I'm not hungry, you know, maybe I just had lunch. And then when I start scrolling and I start seeing food and people preparing food, all of a sudden that has power and control over me. And I want to stop what I'm doing and I want to go out and get something to eat. You do not have to be owned by something in order for it to have power and control over you. And that word is influence. That's what it is. Okay, the enemy does not own your house, but he wants to influence it so very badly. He wants to influence it so bad.
And see, we have to understand more and more as we step into our faith that none of us are exempt from this, pastors included, Christians who have been Christians for decades included, the youngest of believers included. There's no one who's exempt from things trying to enter into their house. No one. And there's three areas that the enemy will try to target. And I want us to think about this as a church, right? Not just as an individual, but as a church. This is how the enemy attracts the whole body of Christ. One of the first things he wants to influence is what you believe. And we're kind of familiar with this, right? We know that the enemy is the father of lies. That's what Jesus calls the enemy, the father of lies. The enemy always wants to influence what you believe. And we always have three questions, and we've been going over this with Sozo, and we talk about it a lot in CARES. It's three questions he wants to influence. Who am I? Who is God? And what's the true story of my life? The enemy wants to tell you you are not as valuable as you are. There is no benefit for your life. The enemy wants to tell you you have no gifts, no purpose. You don't have a calling that's clear or important. The enemy wants to come and tell you that God is not who he says he is. He's not as powerful as you read about in the scripture. He wants to tell you that your story is doomed and there's no coming back from your past. He wants to continue to influence how you think about your life. The enemy wants to control and have power over what you believe. And we see this from the beginning of time in the garden, correct? Where Eve and Adam, because he was with her, read the scripture. He was with her. They were there, walking with the Lord, having the perfect life, and the enemy wanted to influence their way of thinking about the God that they served, the God who created them. The enemy knew he couldn't own Adam and Eve, but that didn't stop him from having influence. Influence, just a whisper. You ever had a whisper of something you know is destructive? Something that seems out of character for you, you just hear, why don't you do that? Or this person is this way. And you're like, where did that come from? That's something trying to make its way and influence you in your house. You ever felt that? Or you just know? It makes me think of the Lord when he said, who told you you were naked? And sometimes we just need to ask ourselves, who told us that? Did you ever believe something so horrible about yourself that if you said it, you would never say it to a friend, or if a friend said that that's how they felt, you'd be like, what's the matter with you? But you feel that when you say things like, I'm not good enough, I'm stuck here forever? When you say those things and you believe them, why don't we ask the question, who told me that? Who told me that? Who told me that I had to repeat the patterns of my grandparents and my parents and then have to pass those down to my kids? Who told you that? And that's something that we have to keep asking. Where are these thoughts that we have coming from? Is it from inside the house where the Holy Spirit resides, or is something from outside that's trying to get in? What you believe will always try to be influenced by the enemy. Second thing is what you attach yourself to. Human beings love to attach themselves to things because that's how we're designed. That's how we bond and find meaning. But the enemy likes to take pure things like that and pervert it. So the idea of attachment and holding on to things and binding to things, in the enemy's world, that's making it more like you're bonding to things that are negative, things that are destructive, things that are not true, things that are not healthy. And we know what these things are usually, right? They're coping mechanisms that we attach ourselves to. For some of us, it could be like a victim mentality. We attach ourselves to that identity. And you can't really separate us from it because we've chosen to make that a part of who we are because we attach ourselves to things. Sometimes it is a behavior. And you know that behavior that in your mind you think, I can't live without this. I can't feel comfortable without this in my body. I can't feel like I have meaning without this. You feel connected to it. And this is often what the enemy does. It's not necessarily that he comes and he brings in a lie or he'll bring in an unhealthy behavior. What he does is he intensifies it. He makes it almost intolerable and to the point that it's torment. That's how you know it's something that's trying to get into the house. So this attachment doesn't just feel like something you can live without. No, it's torture. If you don't have it, there's something that tells you you're not good enough. You have no meaning. You won't be able to keep your head above water. You need it. Right? The enemy wants to influence what we attach ourselves to. This is how we get into toxic relationships and then don't want to get out of them. Come on. And then we don't want to get out of them. We do not know sometimes that we're in these relationships, but then when we find out we are, sometimes we just don't want to let go, no matter how toxic, because you're attached to it. It's familiar to you. Dare I say it's becoming one with you by your own agreement, by your own desires. Yet it's something that didn't belong in the original design of the house. It's from outside, trying to influence the inside. It's not just our beliefs and what we attach ourselves to, it's also what we go to security for. Pastor Seth mentioned money today, and that's the first thing that came to my mind when the Lord told me security. Sometimes money is the thing that we run to feel safe. We run to it to think we have power and control. And somehow the enemy has a way of like dangling cash, opportunity in front of us. And we'll just run and attach ourselves to the thing that we think can sustain us. And I want you to think about that. What do you run to for security? Or who do you run to for security? Sometimes it's a person. You have this idea of what a life looks like. And you run to that person because it creates that idea, a spouse, a child, whatever it is that gives you security. Again, these are pure things, your beliefs, what you attach yourself to, security. But the enemy wants to take pure things and pervert them. So all of a sudden, you're running to the opposite of God for your safety. You're running to things that will be destroyed, that are not eternal. And the way that we go about this, again, is with intensity. It's like this urge that we have. And it's good to know that when we did our house exercise and we went into our imagination, that the Holy Spirit resides there. Because the Holy Spirit's not intimidated by any of these things. And Jesus, when he talked about this scripture, he made a main point. And I don't know if you've heard it, but he talked about this house and how basically it was empty and swept clean, and that made seven demons more worse than the first demon go with it back into the house. So this is the main point I think we're supposed to grab from this today. The house does not stay free by being empty, it stays free by being filled. Come on, amen. For so long, I thought of deliverance as you got to get the house empty. You got to get out the thing that doesn't belong. But the Holy Spirit is there trying to fill up the house, fill up the kitchen and the living room and all those rooms you don't want to go into. For so long, deliverance has been about getting rid of the enemy and not filling us up more with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus is saying. This is his main point. If you want to make sure your house is secure, then ask for more of the Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit to go into those places that are broken, the places where the Holy Spirit trusts you to have the key. Did you hear that part? You have the key. You are trustworthy to the Lord. But wouldn't the enemy make it seem like you are not trustworthy, that you are so broken and confused and dumb, and you can't figure it out on your own, you wouldn't know what to do in a house of your own. That's not what the deed says. The deed says that you know the Lord's trustworthy, but so are you. Amen. For too long, we've been afraid to talk about deliverance. For too long, we've been afraid to say that there are things living rent-free in our minds, in our hearts, in our behavior, because it's connected to so much shame. But we talked about shame last week and how shame is not a part of the plan for you to have sozo. But what is a part of the plan is for you to exercise your authority. Amen. Listen, I can pray for you and I could bless your house and I can ask things that don't belong in your house to be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit until it leaves. However, I would be closing the doors from the outside. Amen. And closing the windows from the outside. Yeah. And I'd be trying to patch things up from the outside. But what does it look like for the church to be people that care about their own homes, that you close the door from the inside, that you lock the windows from the inside? And yes, I can come along and say, do you notice that window's open? Let's go ask the Holy Spirit about that. Do you notice that the door is kind of cracked? Let's go talk about that. I can agree with you to make it more powerful, to come into agreement together so we can have an acceleration of the power of God. But there is probably no more things that is more powerful than your own authority. And this needs to be set up here. Because so often people look at pastors and leaders as these super gurus when it comes to certain things. What I want to tell you is this, disclaimer, I study the word. That's what I do as your pastor. I take time to understand it, to apply it, but to give it to you so that you can go back and do the things you need to do in your life. That's the plan, that we would all be empowered, not just some, but all of us would start saying, no, no longer will you stay in my house. There's one thing I want to do before we respond. I want to talk about a sermon that Pastor Seth preached a couple of weeks ago about Paul, where he was being attacked by a snake after having a shipwreck. And Paul did something very amazing. When this viper tried to jump on him and kill him, the scripture said he shook it off. You can read it in Acts 28. He shook it off. Now, when we did that as a church, there was something that happened. I don't know if you were there that Sunday, but if you were, you probably felt it. There was a shift in the atmosphere, and people became empowered to shake off the things that were attaching itself to them and to shake off the things that they were attaching themselves to. And I think there is something very anointed about shaking it off. And when our spirit wanted to do something that our body was in alignment with, there is an acceleration of God's power. And so for now, I want to bring back shaking it off, but not just shaking it off with your hand. I want you to ask the Lord, how can you shake it off? Maybe it's a stomping thing for you. Isn't it in the scripture, it says that we can stomp on scorpions. Maybe it's a dance for you. You can dance the way into freedom. Whatever it is, I'm going to ask that you participate in what the Lord is telling you. This is your house. This is your house. And the Holy Spirit's here, ready, willing, able to partner with you. So let's stand on our feet and let's give the Holy Spirit room to make us free people. You know, I heard it said over and over that hurt people hurt people. I want to start a new saying, free people, free people. Free people, free people. And if you know that you've been freed by something that has had you in bondage, something that tried to enter into your house, I'm going to ask that you lead this right now, that you be the person that can testify to your experience here. You can start. You can start it. Be a person that says, listen, I was free. I mean, I was in bondage, but now I'm free. And the same can be true for you. So I want us to go back to that house. I want us to go back to the house and just thinking about the fact that you have the deed and you have the keys. and ask the Lord right now, what needs to go? What needs to go? What tried to make itself powerful in my house, that has control in my house? Maybe it's you need to shake off fear that's been gripping you. Maybe you need to shake off a person that's been tormenting you. Maybe you need to break off some things that happened in your life that has been plaguing the way that you think about your future. Ask the Lord right now. And then your follow-up question is, how do I get rid of this? How do I shake it off? What do I need to do? What do I need to do, Lord? Do I need to sing? Do I need to dance? Do I need to stomp? Do I need to spin around? Do I need to run? What do I need to do to tell this thing, to partner with the Holy Spirit, to break agreement, to say you don't belong here anymore? Just give yourself time to ask. Come on, Lord. And trust Him. Trust what you hear. Trust it. Yeah. More, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can find out more about our church community at wellspringchurchnyc.com.